Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I'd like to take this time to thank you for joining me on this evening's broadcast. I invite you to grab your Bible, pen, and paper, and sit back and relax as we feast on the Word of God. For it is written in John 8:32, "But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I'd like to thank you for joining us this evening. Glory to God. I like to solicit your prayers tonight for myself. You know, God is good. I just praise Him for everything that He's doing. He's a mighty good God. And guess what? There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. I was on my way to a funeral today, and the person that I was driving with says, what are we here for? He said, you know, why are we here on this earth? You know, and it kind of got me to thinking because I was like, I don't know why we're here, because God truly didn't need us, but He chose to have us here. And I'm glad He chose us. I'm glad that He really chose to have us here. I just don't know, you know, why God thought it necessary for us as humans to be here. But He did, and I'm glad He did, and I'm not complaining about it. All I know is that while we are here, that we need to make the best of it, and we need to do whatever it is that God has called us to do. We need to take these days that God gives us and make the most of them and not squander them and not, you know, just let it be, oh, I wasted my time. You know, God has given many of us gifts and talents, and many of us don't utilize those gifts and talents because sometimes we feel like we're not worthy enough. Sometimes we feel like we're not good enough. Maybe someone has made us feel as though, you know, we're incapable of doing what God has called us to do. But if God has called us to it, He'll help us to do it. Oh, I like that. I like that. I'm going to use that. If God has called us to it, He definitely will equip us to do it. Yes, He will. And I can tell you this, that I know for a certainty that God is good. And I'm deviating from the topic a little bit just right now because I had an experience today at a funeral that I was at. It was a friend of mine. We've known each other for 20 years practically. And her father passed away about 20 something days ago, and then her mother died just last week, and the funeral was today. And you know, it just gave me a chance to reflect on life. It gave me a chance to listen to what people were saying about this woman who had passed on at 71, 72 years old, and how the people were talking about her. And you know, the daughter, one of the daughters who was my friend, she said, you know, she read the scripture where they asked a question, where Jesus asked the question, whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I am? And, you know, she said people had answered out of the flesh. And then Peter answered out of the spirit. He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And we know that the Word of God tells us that flesh and blood did not reveal that to Him, but His Father which is in heaven. And I just really, you know, thank God because she asked the question, if you were laying here in this state in the casket right now, what would men say about you? What would people in general say about you? What testimony would you leave as a Christian? What testimony would you leave as, you know, a born-again believer? Would people be able to say, you know, that she was a good Christian or he was a good Christian, that, you know, they witnessed the, you know, about Jesus to people. They prayed for people. If somebody asked them to pray, they didn't just say they were going to pray, but they actually prayed. Would they, you know, as a wife, would your husband be able to say that, you know, you were a Proverbs 31 wife, or would he call you a nag? Would he say he sorry that he was married to you, and vice versa? Would the wife say the same about her husband, or what exactly would, you know, the testimony be? And it just got me to thinking, you know, that we got to really make sure we're living, you know, the right kind of life. And it does correspond into what we're going to be speaking about on tonight, about being transformed by the word of God. Be not conformed to this word. And we have spoken about this topic many times, and it's something that we need to continue to talk about. Why? Because Jesus Christ hasn't come back yet. And because he hasn't come back yet, we still, who are alive and remain, have living that we are still doing. And we have to make sure that we understand that God is not a joke, that God is not a play toy, that God didn't put us here because he needed something to do and he needed a joke. You know, he needed to play a joke on us or anything like that. But God, you know, he went through great lengths to create us. He went through great lengths to save us. He went to great lengths to draw us to himself. And we sometimes take that for granted. We sometimes take the fact that salvation is just something that you say when you go to the altar and then that's it. We take for granted the fact that the Bible tells us to live holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And this is a part of being, be not transformed to this, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, we can't fathom it in our minds. We can't understand it in our natural minds, a concept of being holy like God is holy. We can't grab hold to that concept in our minds, and it's like, what? Be holy because I am holy. But guess what? We can live holy. We can live righteously before a holy God. Why? Because he's given us his word. He's given us the tools to live holy. He's given us the tools to, you know, be not conformed to this world. He's given us the tools, and the tools that he's given us are the word of God and the Holy Spirit. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. He's given us, you know, the ability to pray to him without having to go through a priest. He has given us the ability to just get on our knees or on our face or sitting up, however we're going to do it, to go to him and pray without having to go to a person and wait for them to pray for us. Oh, you know what I'm saying, or wait for us to take us to the throne room of grace. We have that opportunity to go to God and pray to him ourselves. So, but we sometimes take it for granted and act as if, you know, yeah, the word says be not conformed to this world. The word says mortify the deeds of the flesh by the spirit. The word says this and the word says that. But then we just look at it and we push it aside and act like that word wasn't written to us. It's just there in the Bible because God and the apostles had nothing better to do. Are you kidding me? And it's not that way. It's not that way. I'm just saying, you know, that we gotta take this thing more seriously. We gotta act like, you know, what God did for us was a great thing. We gotta act like, you know, that it wasn't just, okay, well, I don't have nothing else to do. God loves us so much. He gave us this word. He gave us 66 books in the Bible. He gave this to us specifically so we could understand who he is. We could know who he is and love who he is and obey him because of his love towards us. Not that we love him. but because he loved us. Not that we love him, but because he loved us. God didn't send Jesus to die for us because we loved him. He sent Jesus to die for us because he loves us. We didn't even know God. So Jesus died thousands of years ago, 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus died and rose again. So God didn't do that because we loved him. He did it because he loved us. And the least we should be able to do is to show our love back to God. Show our love back to God and show it to him by our actions. Not by what we say, but show it to him by our actions. And before we go any further, I just want to pray because I see a word on Facebook concerning one of my children in Oklahoma City. And I just want to pray for my son, my youngest son, and my grandson. And, you know, I just believe God for whatever is going on, that my son is okay. The devil is a liar. And, you know, my son is fine and my grandson is fine. And all my children are fine. And, I was thinking about my son today and didn't know what was going on. I was thinking about going to see my son and my grandson, didn't know what was going on, but I see now why it was such, and I was going to call him today, and I didn't do it because I had to run out to go to this funeral today, but now I see why, I see why, but God is good, and I thank him for keeping my son and my grandson, but we're going to pray for them right now, and we're just going to leave it over there in God's hands, because nobody can do what God can do. Glory to God. And as much as I love my son, there's nothing that I can do as his mother but pray for him, especially since I'm in Philadelphia and he's in Oklahoma City. So that's what we're going to do now. We're just going to lift up my son in prayer, and we're just going to thank God so much for protecting my baby. That's my baby. That's my baby. I love my son. I love all my children. So we're going to pray for my son right now. And just thank God. Just thank God. That's what we're going to do. Anyway, so Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to first say thank you. I want to thank you for all that you're doing, all that you've done. I want to bless your name. I want to give you praise and glory and honor. Heavenly Father, I just come to you as a mother. I come to you on behalf of my children, Lord God, all of them, Ryan, Christopher, and Danielle, and Kimberly, Lord God. I come to you on behalf of my grandchildren, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, and Symphony, Lord God. And I ask, Father, that you will just send your loving angels to protect them, your guardian angels, your guard angels to protect each and every one of them, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, we rebuke the enemy, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father. And Father, we even rebuke the spirit of death, Lord God, that will come around my children and grandchildren, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you and I just bless your name, Lord God, and I give you glory for protecting them. I give you praise for keeping them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I just bless your holy name. I thank you that even in that altercation, Lord God, that my son is fine, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That, Father God, that you have kept him, Lord God, and whatever the altercation was, Lord God, that you kept him through it and you kept my grandbaby through it, Lord God. So I just say thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. I bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. My Lord, I just say thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I just bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And give you glory and praise and honor. Hallelujah. For you truly are worthy to be praised. Father, I just bless your name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because there's nobody like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Father, I just give you the praise right now. I just give you the glory right now. I just give you the honor right now, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We submit to you, Lord God. We surrender, Lord. We just surrender. I just surrender. I just surrender, Lord God. And I just give my family back to you, Lord God. I give my children back to you, my grandchildren back to you, Lord God, my husband, myself back to you, Lord God, this radio program back to you, Lord God. Everything that you have given us, I give it back to you, God, Lord. Have your way, Father God. It's not mine. It's yours, God. And you've just given it to me for temporary use. And, Father, I just pray, God, that you will bless me, Lord God, that you will help me, Lord God, that as I surrender to you, that you will help me to be that vessel that you have ordained me to be, Lord God, that you have anointed me to be, Father God, in Jesus' name. I pray for the salvation of my children, Lord God. Ryan, Christopher, Danielle, and Kimberly, I pray for the salvation of my grandchildren, Symphony, Nehemiah, and Jeremiah. I pray for their salvation, oh God, in Jesus' name, Lord God. I pray for them even now, God, right now, Lord God, for their salvation. Father, I pray that you would draw them to you, God, in the name of Jesus. For your word says no man can come to the Father but through Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah. You said, if Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So, Father, I lift up Jesus tonight. I lift up Jesus tonight on behalf of my children. I lift up Jesus tonight on behalf of my grandchildren. Hallelujah. And on behalf of my family members who have not yet received Jesus Christ, I lift up my family members, my sisters, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. I have 11 left, Lord God, and I 10 left, Lord, actually. And Father, I just lift them all up to you, Lord God, that you will save them, deliver them, set them free, bring them out of darkness, draw them nigh unto you, Almighty God. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you and I bless your name. And God, not just my family, not just my children, not just my grandchildren, Lord God, but my friends' children and grandchildren, my acquaintances' children and grandchildren, those that are listening to this broadcast, or those who may be listening live, those who may be listening in the archives, Lord God, that they will be drawn, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, that they will be drawn by you, Almighty God, that they can come and be born again, Father, in the name of Jesus, because, hallelujah, it is written in the word in John 3 that ye must be born again. Hallelujah, God. You said, hallelujah, we cannot enter into the kingdom except we be born of the water and of the Spirit. So, God, I come to you tonight asking you to save, Lord God. Hallelujah, God, in the name of Jesus. Those that are thinking they're walking, Lord God, in the gray area, those that think they're on the fence, Lord God, there is either saved or unsaved. There's either hot or cold. But, Father, I ask, oh God, that you will draw them in, Father, in the name of Jesus, for we know that we're living in the last days. And God, I lift up the body of Christ to you, Lord God. I'm not talking about the building body of Christ. I'm talking about the body of Christ, oh God, and those that have turned away, Lord God, unto fables, those who have turned away unto having itching ears, oh God, those who have turned away, Lord God, who have been double-minded, who have been deceived by the enemy to believe that they can still live in sin, Lord God, and go to church and everything's okay. I lift them up to you, God, in the name of Jesus, and I bind the spirit of deception. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And Father, I pray, Father, that you will save, that you will bring back the backslider, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, hallelujah. Oh, God, I pray for my neighbors, Lord God, who are still, Lord God, just refusing to come to you, God. Father, they hear the word being taught, Lord God. They hear the word being preached, oh God. They hear the prayers going up, oh God, and yet refuse to serve you. But God, I lift them up to you, Lord, and asking you to forgive them of their sins, oh God, that you would draw them, God, in the name of Jesus, that they might be born again, Father God, in the name of Jesus. us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And God, for every seed that is planted because of these ministries over here, Lord God, at 4710, number 112, Lord God, every seed that is planted, I ask that you water it, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will send somebody to water it, God, and then give the increase, Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up those that are still bound, oh God, those that are bound to alcohol, those that are bound to drugs, Lord God, the spirit of addiction. We just lift them up to you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father God. And Father, we ask that you even take the desire from them, from, Lord God, alcohol, Lord God, and from weed, Lord God, and from whatever else they're smoking and drinking, oh God, that will cause them to be out of their right minds. Father, I lift them up to you, God, because we know, Lord God, that you regulate minds, Lord God, hallelujah, that you fix hearts, Lord God, hallelujah, that you redeem those that seem unredeemable, Lord God, hallelujah, and you did it already, hallelujah, through Jesus Christ. And Father, I just say thank you tonight, God. I give you praise right now, God, and glory and honor, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, glory to God, in Jesus' name, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen, 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 hallelujah, glory to God, and I thank you. Oh, I thank you, Father God. I thank you and I bless you. I give you all glory, God. I give you all glory, God. I give you all glory, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, God. I bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, glory to your name. I bless you, Father. Hallelujah. I magnify you, Lord God. I lift you up, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah. My soul cries out to you tonight, Lord God, and says, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I bless your name, Lord God. I glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I lift you up, Lord God. I lift up the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I praise you, Lord God. I magnify you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I bless you, Lord. I praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I glorify you. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, for there truly is none like you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I can search all over. Hallelujah. And never find nobody like you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, and give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I bless the name of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. I bless the name of the Lord tonight. Glory to God. I bless the name of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. For he is worthy. Hallelujah. Our God is worthy. Our God is truly worthy. He's worthy, hallelujah, on the good days. He's worthy on the not so good days. He's worthy when we feel good. He's worthy when we don't feel good. He's worthy when we have abundance. He's worthy even in lack. God is worthy of all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just thank God tonight. Hallelujah. I thank him tonight for all that he's done. I thank him, hallelujah, for all that he's doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 And I just thank God tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus is Lord. He is, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And our God reigns. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Glory to God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you, we better know God and we better know God for ourselves. We better know God and we better know God for ourselves. We better know God and we better know God for ourselves. You know, it's just time out for playing. It's time out for playing. It's time to stop playing and start
time to start praying. It's time to seek the Lord God with our whole hearts. And you know what? Because nothing else matters. All this other stuff that we're seeking after, it's going to rust. It's going to corrupt. The thieves are going to go and steal and, you know, do what they do. Stuff is going to depreciate and all of that. But the word of God will never depreciate. You know, the word of God is rich, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is spirit. The word of God is life. God is his word, and his word is God. It's never going to change. And we need to make sure that we conform, to the word of God. The Bible says be not conformed to this world, but we need to conform to the word of God. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to take this word and eat this word, because we are what we eat. And we need to take this word and eat this word. We need to, Jesus said that if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, if you don't do that, you don't have any part in me. He said, but we need to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And this word right here, we need to take this word, and we need to know this word more than we know anything else. Just like we know our social security number, just like we know our telephone number, just like we know our date of birth, we need to know this word of God. It should be just like we should be able to snap our fingers and know this word of God. Not to show off, not to be braggadocious, but because there's going to come a day and time where we're not going to be able to carry our Bibles. And I remember today when I was at this funeral, you know, I got another revelation at this funeral that, you know, I was looking at the guy and he had an iPad and he was, you know, videoing the funeral of his mother with his iPad. And, you know, at one point I used to say, you know, people, instead of carrying their Bibles now, they carry their iPads and they, you know, carry their phones and they read their Bibles on their phones. And I used to have a problem with that. But I look at it now when, as I was sitting at the funeral today, and it just came to my mind that, you know what, there's going to come a time where we're going to need to have a Bible downloaded on our phone. We're going to need to have Bibles downloaded on our iPads, because there's going to come a point in time where people are going to start getting persecuted for reading their Bibles in public. They already don't want you to read them on school grounds. Some places, they don't want you to have a Bible at all. They don't want you to pray or anything like that. But guess what? At some point, we're probably going to need these instruments to be able to carry our Bibles around, because people are just not going to allow us to use our Bibles. But even if we don't have those instruments, we need to hide the word in our heart so that we don't sin against God. We need to hide the word in our heart. So if we ever go to another country or to a place, or we're in a situation where we don't have our Bible, we can pull that word of God up inside of us. We can speak that word of God, hallelujah, because the word of God is life. We can take that word of God, glory to God, and minister to ourselves, hallelujah, or minister to whomever needs to be ministered to. So we need to take this word of God, and we need to consume this word of God. We need to take this word of God and study this word. We need to meditate on his word day and night. I remember in the Old Testament, somewhere in the Old Testament, and I can't think of it right now, but somewhere in the Old Testament, I believe it was in Joshua, said, put this word in front of you. Put it right there in front of you, in front of your eyes. Don't let this word depart from you. The book of Proverbs, if you read the book of Proverbs, it tells you all through Proverbs to study the word. It tells you to read the word. In the book of Psalms, it says, Lord, your precepts, your word, your instruction, your law, I meditate on them day and night. Your word gives life. Your word brings reproof and correction and instruction. This is in the New Testament. But the word of God, it tells you what it is. It tells you what it does. And we need to consume this word. And we need to let this word transform us. See, we don't want to be transformed because we like living in the flesh. We don't want to be transformed because we like doing the things of the flesh. And again, as I said at this funeral today, and I was listening to them eulogize their mother, and they were saying about their mother, you know, mom never went to church, but she sent us to church. You know, mom never did this, but mom did that. She never took her children to church, but she sent her children to church. She sent her children. She made sure her children heard the word of God. I don't know why she didn't go, but she sent her children to church. And yes, her children went out there and did what they did, but they all came back to the Lord. Glory to God. And that's what we need to do. We need to get into this word. We need to, if you don't go, have a church that you can go to where they're teaching the word of God, where they're living the word of God, where they're not allowing sin to run rampant in their church and allowing sin to take over in their church, if you have a church that is truly Bible-based and they're teaching the word of God, that's all well and good. But if you don't, get your Bible, read your Bible yourself. Even if you have a good church to go to, get a Bible, read it, meditate on it. You don't understand it? Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask somebody spiritual who can help you. God will send somebody to help you, but we're living in the last days, and we need to get this word of God. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, because our old mindsets can't go to the new place that we're going. We got to know God. We got to know him in the spirit. We can't know God after the flesh, because God is not flesh. We got to know him by the Spirit. We got to know him by the Spirit. We have to. We got to know him by the Spirit. It's not, we don't have a choice. We got to know him by the Spirit. We can't know him any other way. We can't know him any other way. We can't know him any other way. I tell you, God is so awesome. God is awesome. And I thank God, because his word is never going to change. His word is never going to change. God's word is not going to change for me. God's word is not going to change for you. God's word is not going to change for anybody. God's word is his word, and God's word is going to do what it's going to do. It's not going to change. We don't have to like it. God's word is not going to change. God's word is not going to change. It's not going to change, but it's supposed to change us. It's supposed to change us. But the word of God cannot change us if we don't study it, if we don't meditate on it. I cannot expect my Bible to lay in my bed with me, beside me, and think it's going to change me if I never open it up. I can't expect my Bible that's sitting on the coffee table to change me, to transform my mind, if I never read it and I never open it up and never study it. I cannot expect to live holy if I don't know what it means to live holy. I can't expect to know what sin is if I don't read the word of God. See, I had a thought today, and I believe it was before I got to that funeral, but I had this thought today that we truly want the word of God to change. We will research the word of God to find out what we think it means, so we don't have to really abide by what it really means. You know, and I don't know if my husband is listening, but sometimes we research the word of God so much to try to get out of what it really means. You know, because we want to say, well, it meant this back then, and it meant that, and the Hebrew word for this means this, and the Hebrew word. And I've seen people, you can go on different blogs, you can go on Facebook, and you can see people literally take the word of God and call themselves researching it and say it doesn't mean this and it doesn't mean that, because they don't want to conform to the word of God. They don't want to be transformed by the renewing of their mind by the word of God as it is. So they take the word of God and they call themselves researching it, trying to say, no, that's not what it meant. And I'll give you a good example. And I know a lot of times people, I was just reading something in the chat room. Force 259 says, within the next 10 years, churches as you know it in this country will go underground. And I believe that because of the way things are happening right now. But I want to talk, the one thing that I say about people doing this research, you know, and looking at the word of God, because they want the word of God to mean something else so they can continue in their lifestyle, so they can continue to live in sin and think they're going to go to heaven anyway, because that's not what God really meant. It's people who are homosexuals, and please, just hear me out on this thing about homosexuals, because it's not just about homosexuals, it's about sin, period. Okay, but I want to use this as an example that even in the book of Romans, now this is the New Testament. We all know what happened in the Old Testament with Sodom and Gomorrah when the people wanted to come and sleep, the men wanted to go and sleep with the angels and all this other stuff that went on, okay? We know that story. But then when we go in the book of Romans where it talks about homosexuals, men sleeping with men and women doing things that goes against nature and all this stuff, these people have come up and said that God wasn't talking about homosexuals of today. He wasn't talking about homosexuality. He was talking about people offering themselves to idols and doing stuff like that. He was talking about homosexuality, that he didn't like it. If it says men with men, he was talking about homosexuality and women with women doing things as unnatural, taking the natural use of a woman and turning it into something else. Hello, homosexuality, lesbianism, you know, I call it homosexuality, lesbianism, bisexuality, and trisexuality. That's what I call it, because some people will try anything and do anything sexually, so I call it trisexuality. But guess what? God is not crazy. He said what he said, and he meant what he said, whether we like it or don't, okay? So we can call ourselves super, super smart and go ahead and try to take the word of God and take the word of God and, you know, dilute it and try to make it be whatever we want it to be. But the word of God is not changing for anybody. I don't care how many alphabets you have behind your name. I don't care how many alphabets you have before your name. God's word is not changing. So we might as well stop trying to change it and just go ahead on and let the word of God transform us so we can stop being conformed to this world. See, the information age is good. The information highway is good and all of that. But sometimes we can take a good thing and let it corrupt us. We can take a good thing and try to, you know, change stuff to make it, okay, what we want it to be. Yeah, we can take a good thing and try to corrupt it. Yeah, we can. We can take the internet and just research until we gray in the face almost just to find a way out of being obedient to God. Just the way of finding out of being disobedient to God. Now, some things I believe we should be looking up the Hebrew and the Greek understanding of the Word of God. I do believe that. I do believe that because some things are transliterated, some things are translated, you know, and or whatever the case is. And sometimes when you go into the Greek and Hebrew study, you understand the Word of God a little bit better when you understand what the words really did mean at that time. But there's no way in the world that you're going to go and you're going to take the Word and you're just going to research and research and research, and now the Word of God don't mean what it really meant. Are you kidding me? Hello? Sorry, I had to pause for the cause for a minute. Let me tell you something. Do what you want to do, okay? Do what you want to do. But when God calls that day of judgment forth and Jesus cracks the sky and you either stand before the great white throne, okay, or the judgment seat, either one, we're going to have to answer to God. We're going to have to answer to God for everything we do in this body, okay, whether it be good or whether it be right. All I'm responsible for doing is giving the word of God. All I'm responsible for doing is letting the word transform me so that I don't be conformed to this world. And you're responsible for allowing the word of God to transform you so that you don't be conformed to this world and miss out. And your name not be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, guess what? We make this thing hard in our flesh. In our flesh, we make this thing hard. But if we would walk more in the Spirit, we won't even fulfill the lust of this flesh. And we will walk more in the Spirit. But see, we can't walk in the Spirit because we're not allowing the Word of God to transform our minds. We're not allowing the Word of God to transform our minds. We're still being consumed by the things of this world. We're still being consumed by what, you know, the fashion popos say. You know, the fashion police say, you got to wear this, you got to wear that, or you're not cool.
You know, the TV says you got to accept this and you got to accept this, or, you know, you're not a person of love or you're not a person of God if you don't accept this and you don't accept that. No, the word of God tells me to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what the word of God tells me. It doesn't tell me that I have to allow social media and, you know, the television, the internet, whoever or whatever, to change my mind about the word of God. The word of God is real. The word of God is never going to change. This is 2013, and the word of God is still the same. The word of God still means the same thing, and this is 2013. So what that tells me is the word of God is not going to change. I don't care how many centuries pass. The word of God is not going to change. I don't care how many millenniums pass. The word of God is not going to change. Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brethren, I beseech you, Romans 12:1-2, brethren, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then it says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world system and the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. But they doing this and they doing that. Let them keep doing what they are doing. Obey the word of God. Obey the word of God at all costs. Obey the word of God at all costs. 4:2-5:9 says the word of God is as is. It's just not going to change. It's not going to change. We've taken on stuff and call it right. And that which is right, we call it wrong. The world don't want us to talk about sin. The world want us to, oh, you got to teach in love. You have to teach the word in love. You can't talk about people. I'm not talking about you. If the word happened to hit you, it hit you. Let it hit you. Let it convert you. It's converting me. Again. My niece said she deleted me from Facebook because the word of God that I was putting on there was too heavy-handed for her. Not for her. She said it's too heavy-handed for everybody. First of all, how you going to talk for everybody? And second of all, if it's too much for you because you know you're trying to talk Jesus and living wrong, then bye. Delete me. Keep me deleted because I'm not changing my message because you want me to walk softly. I'm not walking softly. God put a word in my mouth, and that's his word. He didn't give me something new. He gave me his word. John the Baptist cried aloud and spared not, and that's what God wants us to do. No, we're not supposed to go around judging people and standing around pointing fingers at them, but we got righteous judgment going on. We speak the word. The word's going to do the judging. Let the word do the work. The word is going to judge. You know, people keep coming in the chat room, and I keep looking at the chat room. That's why I don't look at the chat room much. But I look at the chat room, and people keep popping in and out of the chat room because people don't want to hear about holiness and righteousness in hell. People don't want to hear about being transformed by the renewing of their mind. People don't want to hear about not being conformed to this world. People want to hear that it's okay to sin and go to church and God's okay with it. People don't want to hear about holiness in hell. People don't want to hear about righteousness and true holiness. People don't want to hear about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. People don't want to hear about that. People don't want to hear about walking in the spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. People don't want to hear about that. Why? Because people still want to live in the flesh and still want to be conformed to the ways of this world. And the bottom line is the Bible said, Jesus said, my Bible has it written in red, that says, Jesus said, you must be born again. I did not write it. You must be born again. You can try to chop it up any way you want to chop it up, but the Bible says, Jesus said, you must be born again.
That's what Jesus said. You must be born again. Not if you want to be born again, Teresa, you can be. But really, for real, we ain't got to be born again. We don't got to be born again if we want to. But if we want to make it into the kingdom of heaven, oh, yeah, you must be born again. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Marvel not. It's not funny. It's not no joke. Don't take this lightly. You must be born again. You're not entering into the kingdom of heaven if you're not born again. Born again of the water, born again of the spirit. You know, the word of God is water. The word of God is life. Jesus said, you eat of my flesh, you won't never hunger again. If you drink of my blood, you'll never thirst again. And this is, we know we can't literally drink his blood and literally eat his flesh, but we can eat this word. Ho, come to the fountain if you're thirsty. Come to the fountain and drink. But no, we don't want to do that. That's too much trouble. I don't want to pray. I don't want to read the word. I don't want to do right, but I want to go to heaven. Get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. I still want to lie. I still want to fornicate. I still want to steal. I still want to do everything that I'm not supposed to do. But God, I demand that you let me in heaven anyway. Somebody crazy, and I know it's not God. Somebody's a little bit cuckoo. And I know it's not God. I'm trying to say, guess what? Do you. You do what you want to do. Guess what? I'm going to get a word. When the Lord allow me to get a word, I'm going to let the word transform me. I'm going to let the word do what it got to do. Glory to God. And that's what you got to do too. That's what you got to do too. Obey the word or don't. Obey the word or don't. You see what I'm talking about? Force 259, they come in the chat room, they leave. They come in and leave. They come. No, they don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear that hell is real. They don't want to hear that sin is deadly. They don't want to hear that shame sin or sin shall shame you. They don't want to hear that. Because people sit up in these buildings, in these edifices, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, Friday after Friday, or whenever they decide to attend these churches and come back out the same way. They've been in there for year after year after year, and you still come out the same way. None for the better. The pastor is living in sin. The church is living in sin. Nobody's correcting the sin. Nobody's preaching about the sin. Everybody's preaching about getting cars and houses and prosperity and this, that, and the third. Everybody's talking about having building funds so they can build a bigger church, so they can do this and do that. I mean, get with the picture. Somebody got to talk about sin so we can come out of sin. Mama. I'm going to tell you this, though. I understand that mentality. I ain't going to act like I don't. I understand that mentality. You know why? Because I was there. You know why? We was going to a church, and every time we went to that church, every Sunday, they always talking about holiness or hell. Holiness or hell. That's all they kept talking about, holiness or hell. I got so sick of hearing about holiness or hell. I told my husband, I was like, babe, you know, we've been saved a long time, and every time we come to the church, that's all they talk about is holiness or hell. We mature in the Lord. We want to hear something else. Like, come on now. They need to talk about something else because we're mature in the Lord. Why they got to keep talking about the same thing over and over again? Yes, I did say that out my mouth. But what I didn't know was I needed to hear that. What I didn't understand was I needed to hear that for my soul to be right. I didn't understand that. But I tell you what, now I find myself preaching that. Now I find myself saying that. It's holiness or it's hell. It's holiness or it's hell. I got sick of hearing the people say that every time I went to church. They kept talking about fornication. They kept talking about adultery. They kept talking about sin, period. I got sick of it. I was like, can't they talk about something else? But see, that's the word God put in their mouth. That's the word God put in their mouth. And they cannot keep people in that church because people don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear that. Good evening, my sister Celestine. That's my baby sister. And guess 8794. People don't want to hear holiness. People want to hear, I could do what I want to do, go to church. God, you better be happy with it, and you better let me in heaven when I die. And you'll say, well, I don't say that. You don't have to say it because the way you live is saying that. You don't got to say it. God, I'm just going to do what I want to do, and you want to accept it. Yup, and when I close my eyes, and when you come back, yup, you're going to let me in heaven anyway. Bye, boy. You the clay. You not the potter. You are the clay. You don't tell the potter what to do. And the potter be putting us on the wheel, and he be trying to mold us into what he wants us to be, and he be trying to shape us and form us. And guess what? We want to jump off the potter's wheel because we don't want him to shape us right now. Don't shape me right now, Lord. Don't mold me right now, Lord. It's not time for me to read your word now, Lord. It's not time for me to pray now, Lord. It's not time for me to be conformed, hallelujah, by your word and transformed by your word, Lord, because you know I got to do this in my own time, Lord. You know I got to wait till I'm 50, Lord. Lord, you got to wait until the rest of my family come in, Lord. Lord, you got to wait because you know. What? Who do we think we are? We don't know how long we have left in this world. I'm saying it again. When I was younger, I used to say stuff like that too. Oh, I don't want to get saved until I'm 50. I didn't even know what I was talking about, number one, because I didn't even know what it meant to be saved. Saved from what? I don't want to do this church stuff until I'm about 50 or 60. I got to live my life. And as dumb as I was, I'm glad God didn't take my life, or he didn't allow the enemy to take my life when I was out there, because I was dumb. And I thought I was bad. And guess what? I'm going to tell y'all this. I'm going to say it. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I was out there, and I was living out there in the world, and I was going to church on Sunday. I was in the choir. I was in the ministerial team. I was in the Sunday school. They was about to make me Sunday school superintendent. I was the right-hand man to the pastor. I'm telling you, I was the girl in the church. But outside, I was living foul. In my house, I was a devil untied. My family at home saw one thing, and the church saw somebody else. Huh? That's how come God can put this word in my mouth, because I already lived it. I already lived that side where I talked Jesus, but I didn't even know Jesus. I could even quote scriptures about Jesus, but I didn't even know Jesus. I was talking about a Jesus I didn't even know, but I was doing it so people can see me and people can applaud me and people can say, oh, girl, you this, and oh, girl, yeah, you this. You know what? I didn't even remember this, but you know what? I was part of a radio broadcast back then in 1987, 1988. I was doing radio back then. I forgot all about it. I was helping them with the broadcast back then. And here it is, 2013. Here I am on the radio, broadcasting myself, not helping somebody. But God was setting me up then. But see, I had to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, not going to church and just going to church because I was going to church, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And let me tell you something. Our flesh is an enemy of God. Our flesh does not want us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds by the word of God. Our flesh don't want us to be transformed. Our flesh don't want us to be transformed. I can promise you, every time you make up your mind and say, I'm going to do better, and say, I'm going to get in this word, and say, I'm going to pray, I promise you something comes up to try to make you stay in your flesh. I tell you, I know what I'm talking about. Every time you decide, Lord, I give my life to you for real, here come the okie doke. But guess what? We got to put the moves on the okie doke. We got to stop letting the okie doke put the moves on us, and we got to put the word of God on the okie doke. It's time to tell the okie doke to get the hell out of here. And I mean it just like that. Okie doke, you are full of hell. Get out of here. They said, oh, that lady on there cursing. No, I'm not. The okie doke is full of hell. The okie doke has every intention of keeping you stuck right where you are so you don't go no further, because it don't want you to get transformed by the renewing of your mind. It wants you to stay conformed to this world. It wants us to act like the world. It wants us to be like the world. It wants to react like the world. That's what it wants us to do. But okie doke, you're full of hell. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. See, I promise you, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you what I know. In my own house, I'm talking about in my own house, I have opportunity every day to go around here and act like I done lost my mind. The enemy talking to me. Yeah, say this and say that. Yep, get up in her face and do this. And what? No, I can't do that, because I'm trying to allow God to change me. I'm trying to allow the word of God to transform me. I'm trying to let the word of God to make me into who God wants me to be. And I promise you, every day I was faced with a situation that just took my nerves and set them on edge and wanted me to curse, wanted me to argue, wanted me to fight. And I kept saying, I can't do it. But you know what the other side was? I wasn't arguing with that person, but I was arguing anyway, but I was doing it not with her. I was upsetting myself anyway. I was arguing about the situation, not with her, but behind her back. So I wasn't arguing with her, which is a good step for me, because I'm one of them people that, you know, I like to put it to you straight. And I've been not doing that, but I've been in the background complaining about it. And God wants to even change that. He wants to even change that. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Put on Christ. Walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of my flesh on any level. On any level. See, God has a... See, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. God not letting me be phony. He not letting me be phony. Whoosh, 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 pull them covers off. He not letting me be phony. Why? Because he want me to be transformed. He want me to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. He want me to live a holy life just like he wants you to live a holy life. He wants you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He wants you to stop being conformed to this world. He wants you to be holy and righteous in what you say and what you do, even in what you think. How about that? I'm just saying. Don't believe me. Don't believe me. Believe the word. John 6:63. And I went over these scriptures the other night, but I'm going over them again. John 6:63. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. First he said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. That TV not going to quicken you. God's the TV is not going to quicken me. The word of God. The spirit of God in this word is what's going to quicken me. The same spirit that raised up Christ. The same spirit that raised up Christ will quicken my mortal body. But guess what? The Holy Ghost. We used to sing the song called, I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. I got the Holy Ghost. We got a third person of the Godhead called the Holy Ghost, and we don't even utilize the Holy Ghost, and we wonder why we can't get no further than stuck. We wonder why we can't get no further than stuck. We won't read the word, we won't pray, we won't utilize the Holy Ghost, and we wonder why we still conform to this world. We wonder why it's so easy to keep falling into sin. God knows my heart. I'm so sick of hearing God knows my heart. He does know our hearts. He surely does. But we cannot continue to use God knows my heart as an excuse. Because if your boss on your job tells you X, Y, Z, and I'm saying this because I worked, I was a boss, and I was not a boss. When I told my employees to do X, Y, Z, I gave them a warning. If they didn't straighten up, they was gone. Boom. Bye. Same thing with me. If my boss told me to do something and I didn't do it, they gave me a warning. And if they didn't straighten up, boom, boom, out the door. Bye. I didn't go in my job expecting, oh, I'm just going to do what I want to do, and the boss just going to conform to what I say. The boss going to listen to me. I'm going to do what I want to do. She going or he going, they're going to pay me anyway. I'm going to come late. I'm going to stay on my phone. I'm going to cuss out my boss. I'm going to do what I want to do, and they still going to pay me, and they still going to keep me. That's a fool in their heart talking like that. But that's how we treat God. I'm going to do what I want to do. I know your word says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I know your word says that, but I'm going to do it when I feel like doing it. Because right now, I got to do me. Bye, boy. And guess what? God is so merciful. He's not going to force you to live right. He's not going to force you to do right. He's going to give you the word. You're going to send somebody to drop a seed. You're going to send somebody else to water it. And at some point, if you don't lose your life, you're going to get an increase. Unless you got a reprobate mind. And anything God say, you're not going to listen to it. Forrest 2:59 says, the gospel that is preached on a lot of pulpits today is self-centered. People want to talk about exegesis and all of this other stuff. I don't know what exegesis is. I don't care what exegesis is. Yes, I've been to Bible college. I don't care about none of that stuff. All I care about, the word of God. I don't care about preparing sermons. I don't care about all of that. Because when the Holy Ghost take over, no matter how many times I prepare a sermon, it never come out the way I prepared it anyway. How about that? So I don't care about all that other stuff. I don't care about the $50 words. I don't care about how educated you may think I am or how educated you may want me to be. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Word of God. He's teaching me, and that's what I need. Now, take that to the bank. Or wherever you want to take it. Now, this is what I know. God is good. It takes a funeral sometimes to put some things into perspective. It really does, because I really sat at that funeral today and I watched. I watched. I just looked. I looked at the family. I looked at the people that were not family. I sat there and looked. I thought about myself. I thought about my children. I thought about my marriage. I thought about all kind of stuff sitting in this funeral. Yeah, I left here at 10:30. I didn't get back here till almost 2 o'clock. But guess what? I sat there and began to reflect on stuff. And just as sure as my name is Teresa, all of us, if Christ don't come back first, all of us going to have to go the way of a casket. All of us going to die. If we're not just raptured out of here, if we're not taken up, if we're not caught up to meet him in the air, and we're still physically alive, we all going to die one day. And we're going to be standing there eulogizing us. And the question is, did you really give your life to the Lord? While the people standing there eulogizing you, people crying and snotting over you, and all of that kind of stuff, where is your soul? Because everybody that lays dead, everybody that's absent from the body ain't present with the Lord. Because if you wasn't in him, You're not reigning with him. Read the word. It says we may not all sleep. We may not all sleep. But if Jesus came back right now, if Jesus cracked the sky right now, what you think would happen to you? I'm asking myself the same question. If Jesus cracked the sky right now, could you actually say that you're in him? In him. That's a question only you can answer. If Jesus came back right now, could you honestly say that you were in him? You know, sometimes in order to be in Christ, we got to forsake others. Oh, yes, we do. And that's hard. That's hard sometimes. But it gets easier. It gets easier. Oh, man. You are so funny, Force 259. You are absolutely right. Woo, you are absolutely correct in what you say. And it's not the first time it's been said. But the question remains, if Christ came back today, or if we die today, I just want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. You need to know, and I need to know. Are we living our lives pleasing to God? I will, Force 259. Thank you so much for the encouragement. Thank you so much. Are we living our lives pleasing to God? And as I was going to say before that, good evening, Real Talk with the Crew. Guest 9146 and guest 9138, thank you for stopping by this evening. But, you know, the other day, you know, my mom had 13 children, and one of my siblings invited me to come to their house. They were having a housewarming, and I actually told them I couldn't go. And it's my family, it's my blood, and sometimes I'm human. I want to, you know, be with my family, but the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that doesn't make me more. It doesn't make me more holy, like, or I'm this super person. It makes me aware, very aware of the word of God. And the funny thing about it is, and I'm not talking about my brother, but I'm talking about people in general. As a Christian, if we say that we're born again believers, and we say we don't drink anymore, we don't smoke anymore, and we don't curse anymore, and we don't do this anymore, and da 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 anymore. As soon as we set foot at an engagement or something of the sort where that stuff is being done, the first thing they want to throw in your face, but I thought you said you were a Christian. And then if you don't do it, oh, well, the Bible says you're supposed to love your family. You're supposed to love everybody. You can't judge everybody. You can be with your family. They're doing all that stuff. It doesn't mean that you have to do it. Well, why do I want to be around it if I don't do it? Why do I want to be around something that I used to do as far as that kind of stuff? Why do I want to? I don't do it anymore, so I don't want to be around it. I don't want to be tempted by it. Maybe somebody might be strong enough to be around that stuff, but I'm not. I don't want to be around liquor. I don't want to smell liquor. I don't want to smell smoke. I don't want to be around. I'm not talking about my family right now. I'm just talking about in general. I don't want to be around people that curse. Oh, every other word out their mouth is cursing. I don't want to be around that because that's who I used to be. I'm supposed to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. I don't want to be around that. It vexes my spirit when I hear it. And that's all a part of into being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to make a decision. I want to please God or I want to please people. Because at the end of the day, people got to go and talk to God for themselves when they die. They got to answer to God for themselves when they die. I got to answer for God when I die. I can't say, but so-and-so, they wanted me to do so-and-so, so I had to do it because I wanted to fit in with them because they felt some type of way because, uh-uh. God said, but what did I say? What did my words say? The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't even do what I say? Hey, Shay Shay. Bishop is fine. He's fine. Oh, he's out there listening. Let me put him. Let me connect his mic. Hey, babe, you're on the line.
Good evening.
Good evening. This is my hubby.
I listened to what you were saying. Very good word. Very true word. We have to be so careful about what we claim, and that's where the study comes in. When we say things like Lord, what is the Lord? When we say things like master, what do we mean? What do we really mean? And what did, more importantly, what did Christ mean when he told us and when he instructed us to look at him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Master and Savior? And, you know, what does he mean? What does he expect from us? And we have to study these words not for so that we can strut around like a peacock and say, look what I know, and look how I can decipher, and look how I can interpret, and look at me, look at me, look at me. No. If it's not to edify, if it's not to convict, if it's not to persuade, then it's just a needless venture in academia to me. That's all it is to me. It's just being academically inclined. Okay, that's wonderful. But the word tells me, the word is for the foolish, not for the wise, not for the highly educated, not for the PhDers and all the rest, though they too can learn. But the word, when we study the word, it is to edify, encourage us, challenge us, sometimes even chasten us, to look at ourselves for what we really are. And when we call him Lord, what do we mean by that? When we call him Father, is he a father to us? We all know the Lord's Prayer, our Father prayer, as many refer to it as. Our Father, which art in heaven. Well, what do we mean when we say he's our Father? What is the relationship between father and child? Do we have that kind of relationship with him? What do we mean when we call him Lord? Do we have that kind of relationship with him? Master, do we have that kind of relationship with him? Those are big words with a lot of responsibility and a lot of obligations. You can't live any old kind of life, unholy, unrighteous, disobedient, defiant, contrary, evil, sinful, filled with iniquity and spite, animosity and hatred, anger, malice. You know, and then you call him Lord? Did he live that kind of life? You call him Master? Did he live that kind of life? You call him Father, and you don't emulate him and try to imitate him and try to be as he is? You notice I didn't say was, because he was, he is, and he forever will be. He
yeah.
is the Alpha and the Omega, so he is the is.
Yes, he is.
He's not a was.
Mm-mm. Never
Muhammad was. Buddha was.
Mm-hmm.
Confucius was.
Mm-hmm.
All those men, Moses was. Great man he was, but he was. He's not no longer. Many things that we learn from those men. But Christ Jesus, Yeshua, and I'm sorry, I got to also refer to him as what his mother referred to him as. And if people find offense in that, so be it. I understand Jesus. I know it's not about what interpretation or what translation or transliteration you may use. I have no problem with either. And I want to get that straight. Some people, you know, we're so narrow-minded that we cannot broaden our scope and broaden even our relationship with God. How can you be narrow-minded and still call Christ your Christ? To really be as someone, a Lord, you have to be beyond what you're about. For somebody to be your master, you have to be open-minded to receive him as your master, to surrender to him, take strength of character.
Mm-hmm.
It means when I find myself in error, I'm willing to correct myself. I'm not standing on what my grandmother, great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother said, oh, well, so be it. But when Christ reveals something to you, do you stand on great-grandmother's word or do you stand on the word of Christ? The old hymn says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If it's contrary to Christ, I don't care where it is. I don't care where it is or who says it. If it's contrary to Christ, I run away from it. Like my wife says often, flee, run, run, run. I run away from it. I run away from people that are contrary to learning more. I'm open. I was in a denomination for nearly 50 years. Traditional, high church denomination. But I was open to receive the Holy Spirit. I was open to receive speaking in tongues. I was open to receive understanding things I never understood before and submit to things that I never submitted to before because I want to be pleasing in God's sight. I'm still growing. At 61 years old, next year I'll be celebrating 50 years in ministry. And I'm still growing, still learning, and still want to learn. I'm not so stubborn and so stiff-necked and so single-minded that I can't learn from the Lord. I'm not talking about wavering when it comes to man and man trying to convince me and man trying to persuade me. I'm not talking about that kind of being open-minded. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit reveals something to me. Because that's the presence of God in the world today. When the Holy Spirit reveals something to me, that's the one that Christ promised that he would send to us to be another comforter to us. When the Holy Spirit comes, and reveal something, even if it's contrary to what I've always believed was true, I'm going to yield to it. And those who don't, and those who accuse people that do yield to it as being satanic or being contrary to the will of God, I reverse it on you. I question your faithfulness. I question your commitment. Because you have a mind like Paul had before he had his master's road experience. Hell bent on sending people to hell. Hell bent on getting this thing right. We want to crush this Christian faith. It's an insult to Judaism. And we're going to crush that. Because we're doing the work of God. You know, most religious wars are being held and being done because people believe they're doing what God wants them to do. I'm talking about the real thing. When the Holy Spirit comes by and lingers and whispers and speaks to you sometime in a still, quiet voice. It's not always in a thunder and lightning. It's not like him always blinding you and knocking you off a mule. Sometimes he just whispers in your ear. But if you have a heart for God and you understand his Holy Spirit and relate to him not just when you need him, but on a regular basis, then when you hear his voice, you won't wonder, I wonder whether that's God or not. Christ said, my sheep know my voice. And then they're going to follow another. But that don't happen through osmosis. That doesn't happen through you wanting it to happen or you wishing it would happen. It happens when you have fellowship and communion with God. If you don't know if you've never spoken to me, you don't know what my voice is. You can't discern my voice. If you only spoke to me maybe one time, you will have to hesitate to say who it is when I call you again. But if you talk to me often, I could be hoarse, I could be in a whisper, but there is some little phrase or something in my voice that'll let you know that is Gerald. Bishop, Rev, Pastor, whatever you may know me as. I know Mary Magdalene in the garden, when she saw Christ, she didn't know who he was until he spoke. But when he spoke, she knew that voice. And she fell down and said, Master, Master. The man on the road of Arimathea after his resurrection, they met Christ and they sat with him and they ate with him. But only when he began to talk and when he broke bread with them did they know, oh, yes, he broke bread. The way he tears that bread, the way he speaks those words, I know who it is now. You are the master. Lord, they said, Lord. But you can only know him for sure if you have fellowship with him for sure. Not going through the routine, not going through the motions, not being politically or religiously correct. But when you know him for sure, in prayer and in fasting and the life you live, a holy and righteous life, the holier you are, more righteous you are, the more you know his voice. The more you're striving to be like him, the more you'll recognize him. And this is what he says. This is what Christ said. This is how you're going to know, this is how the world's going to know you're my disciples, if you love one another. Why? Because God said about Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Christ said it like this, greater love hath no man than this. They lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you follow my commandments.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen, everybody. That was Bishop Scott, my husband. Of almost 14 years. amen, amen. And we do have to make sure we know what we're talking about. When we say Lord, is he really our Lord? Is he really our Lord? And I was at a funeral today and people, you know, they were saying stuff, you know, she said, people say stuff as a cliche. They say, I love you, or you know, at funeral time, people say, well, is there anything I can do for you? Anything I can do to help you? And she said her and her sister kept telling everybody, no, there's nothing you really can do to help me. And then one day they flipped the script and they said, yes, there is something you can do. And they said when they did that, everybody was like, for real? Like, you really want me to do something? Like, they were saying it as just something to say, but then they turned around and when they said yes, they couldn't believe it. Like, I can't do nothing for you. Basically, you know, and that's the way it is with God. You know, we say, God, we love you. But when he asks us to do something, we be like, for real? But I said I love you, but I don't really love you. And we say, that sounds hardline, right, honey? It's that we'll say, we don't say that to God, but we do say that to him. And we don't say it with our mouths. We say it with our actions. God said, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will obey. And we tell our kids that. If you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll do what I say do. John, Bobby, or whatever your name is. You know, if you love me,
then obey me. If you can't tell me that you really love me if you don't obey me.
And Christ goes even further. He says, men won't even know you love me unless you love one another. That's how you're going to, it's love. It's all about love. It's all about love.
And we need to love God.
We
need to love God because first of all, we can't even love each other. So how are we really saying we love God? How can we actually really love God if we can't even love each other? We see each other.
Well, what did John say?
And we can't even love it. I'm looking at you, but I cannot love you, but I say I love God.
But what did John say? He said you're a liar.
So we got to be careful about what we say. If we're not going to live up to what we're saying, then we need to shut up. It's not time for faking it till we make it. It's time out for faking it till you make it. It's time to live right no matter who likes it or who doesn't. Because guess what? Where's that scripture, Gerald? I just read it the other day, too. Where the disciples were following Jesus and some of them got mad at Jesus because of what he said and they started leaving. And Jesus turned around to the 12 and said, will y'all leave me, too? Y'all going to leave, too?
My Lord.
Y'all going to leave? They was like, no, where are we going to go? We're not going to leave you, Jesus. We're not going to leave you. And Jesus had to forsake everybody. He left everybody to do the will of his Father. He left everybody to do the will of his Father.
Including his Father.
He left Joseph. He left his other brothers and sisters that Mary had. You know, Jesus wasn't the only child of Mary. She had other children. So he left them. People did not understand Jesus. They called him all kind of names. And they're going to do the same thing to us. Get your thick skin on and keep it moving. Because guess what? At the end of the day, the people that we're trying to please, they can't keep us out of hell. And they can't get us into heaven. You heard that? Everybody got to get there for themselves. Everybody has to make a life choice for themselves. Everybody has to make this decision for themselves. And that means that if everybody else want to go to hell, that's their prerogative, if that's what they want to do. But if you are bent on going to heaven, then you better do whatever it is that you're supposed to do. And the main thing is to love God. And then love your neighbor as yourself. That's the deal. That's what, listen, we're going to do what we're going to do. Or we're not going to do what we're not going to do. And when Jesus comes, and he asked a question. Why did you not obey? I don't know what you're going to say. I don't even know what I would say to him. I'd probably just say, because no excuse is going to be good enough. Woo! I had to laugh at that. Because no excuse is going to be good enough. What are we going to say? But God, but my boss. But God, my kids got on my nerves so bad, God, I couldn't serve you. You know, before I got on the broadcast tonight, I'm going to tell you, my chest was hurting. I was having such pains in my chest. I actually felt like calling 911 on myself because that's how bad my chest was hurting. At this moment right now, I feel nothing. I don't feel that discomfort in my chest nor that pain. And I thank God for that. Also, before I got on the broadcast, right as I was getting on the broadcast, I saw some news on Facebook concerning one of our children in Oklahoma. Disturbed me. I kind of got a little bit frightened.
when I was looking at the comments and, you know, such, and God just let me pray. He just had me to pray, and after he had me to pray, I felt better about the situation. I still don't know the situation, but I felt better that God has him. And I said all of that to say that the enemy will bring distraction. And if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in a distraction. I also saw something else on Facebook concerning another family member. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? It's a distraction. It's a distraction. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to be distracted. He doesn't want us to go forth to do what God has called us to do, that God has ordained us to do. And God has called us to be holy. Folks looking for titles, folks looking for credentials so they can go out and build these big edifices and such and all of this stuff. God wants our heart. He wants our heart. He wants us to sell out to him. He wants us to give our complete heart to him. He wants us to give our complete devotion to him. Some of us will give man or woman our devotion. A man or a woman can say this or that to us, and we'll stop whatever we're doing and run and do whatever they tell us to do or ask us to do. But God, I can't do that for you right now, God. Nope, I can't do that for you, I can't do that for you right now. But a man or a woman who has no heaven or hell to put us in, we could be on our way to do something for God, and they'll call us and tell us no, and we won't do it because we're more devoted to them than we are to God. I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty. Let me tell you something. I have done this thing. I have left my cell phone home on my way to go somewhere and felt all crazy, had to turn around and go back and get my cell phone. But I've left my Bible home, and I ain't feel all crazy about leaving my Bible home. I ain't turn around and go get it. Devotion. Where was my devotion at? My devotion wasn't to God. Obviously, it was to that darn cell phone. That cell phone that had no heaven or hell to put me in, still don't have no heaven or hell to put me in. But I made that thing my God when I should have been chasing after what? I should have been chasing after my Bible. I should have, you know what I'm saying? We got to prioritize. We got to make things right. We got to do things that are pleasing to God. We got to make sure that what we do is pleasing to God. Do I always make it? Nope. Do I miss the mark? Yup. Sure do. You might not see it, but God sees it. God's not asking us to be perfect because he knows that we're still in this flesh. He knows that. But he's asking us to mature. He's asking us to mature in him. He's asking us to mature in him. We can't stay on the milk of the word of God. But some of us are even rejecting the milk. You know, when a mother is nursing, when she first starts nursing, the milk is not coming out regular milk. It's coming out that stuff that look like 2% milk or 1% milk or 0% milk, as far as I'm concerned. It's that, I don't know what they call that stuff, until the real milk starts coming in. And some of us don't even want that. Some of us don't want to be, we don't want to get our spiritual nutrition. We don't want to take our spiritual dose of medicine. We don't want the word of God to be what it's supposed to be to us. Or we say we want it, but we won't do nothing to get it. We want it to happen by osmosis. We want the word of God to just jump up and pop into our heads and pop into our spirit, and we're just going to be okay, and we don't have to do anything. There's no effort. But there's something that we got to do.
Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We got to come out from among them. We got to be separate. We got to touch not the unclean thing. Sometimes that means we got to make hard decisions. Sometimes we just got to say, yo, you are hindering my spiritual walk. And I need to let you know that I'm going to walk with the Lord. And if you don't want to walk with the Lord, I'm not going to let you hinder me. So what are you saying, Teresa? I'm saying what I just said. Good evening, Enriching Words of Life. Sometimes we got to go be like that song. Please don't hinder me because I'm trying to make a change. I'm going all the way and I'm going in Jesus' name. My mind's made up. No turning back. Yes, I'm ready because I'm on the right track. Oh, yeah, that's an old song. I'm going to see if I can find that. And sometimes we just got to look the devil straight in the face and be like, you know what, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. I am not going to allow you to distract me through person, through TV, through games on Facebook, through job, through children, through my own silly ways. No, I'm going to walk in the spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do what I got to do to get my relationship right with God. Because guess what? I'm going all the way and I'm going in Jesus' name. And I'm just saying. Good evening, Apostle Paul and Keisha. Apostle Paul and Prophetess Keisha, Enriching Words of Life. Bible Truth by Benny, where you getting there? I didn't see you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. How you doing? Hi, Teresa. Ride out. I like that. Ride out, enriching, and real talk. That's how you abbreviate it. That's right. You get it all in. But Jesus is Lord, and we just got to just get back to the basics. Get back to the basics. Please. Pick up your Bible. Read your Bible. If you got to go in the bathroom and read it, go in the bathroom and read your Bible. If you got to go sit outside and read your Bible. If you got to say, I'll be right back, go around the corner and sit in your vehicle to read your Bible. Do whatever it takes, because the devil is doing whatever he can. He's doing whatever it takes to distract you and keep you from reading it. Check it out. Sit back and think about it. Every time I say I'm going to read the word, something always comes up so I can't read the word. Either something comes up or I'm so sleepy and tired that I can't read the word. Get out of here with that. We could be sleepy and tired, but I bet you we'll sit and watch television. I bet you when I was out there in the world, I was sleepy and tired, but I bet you when 11 o'clock came, I bet you I was somewhere in the club dropping it like it was hot. I was dropping it like it was hot, like it was cold, like it was lukewarm. I was just dropping it. Woo, I'm crazy and I know it, but it's all right. I'm crazy for the Lord. Y'all know y'all did the same thing. Don't sit there and look at me like that. I know y'all saying we can't even see you, but you know what I mean. Don't be making those faces. Don't be acting like what I'm saying is foreign, because y'all know the same thing too. Y'all was out there with the best of them. You stayed out there till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, then you got up and you went to work. But when Jesus wants you to do something, I'm too tired, Lord. I'm too busy, Lord. So-and-so don't want me to, Lord. I can't do it like this, Lord, because they're going to think this about me, Lord. But when we was out there in the world, we didn't care what nobody thought about us. We cuss them out. We fight. We sleep here, sleep there, do this, do that. We didn't care what nobody said about us then. Now we want to get in Christ, and now we want to be all concerned about what people say. Now we want to be all concerned. about what people think. All because it's God now. Now you're on God's team. God wants you to live right. He wants you to know what to do. He wants you to know how to live right. But the enemy want to bring distraction, and we keep allowing him to bring distractions. And not only do we allow him to bring the distraction, sometimes we act like we welcome the distraction. Oh, now this hell is going on in my life. Now I can't read the Bible. I'll read the Bible when I get finished with this hell. Get out of here with that. The enemy will distract any way he can. And as long as we allow the enemy to keep coming in to distract, he going to keep coming in to distract. Why? Because he's looking at you like you a punk, because he keep coming in and you keep letting him in and you won't rebuke him, you won't resist him, you won't draw nigh to God, and you wonder why he keep coming back. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But see, what we want to do is, we don't want to draw nigh to God. We just want to call ourselves resisting the devil, but we're not really resisting the devil because we're letting the devil do what he want to do. And then we find ourselves somewhere wondering why we messed up, because we won't pray, we won't fast, we won't read the word of God, and we keep letting the devil walk in our house, tearing up everything, when we're supposed to have authority over him. But if you don't know you have authority, how you going to use it? Or if you know you have authority, but then you don't use it, then what good is it? The enemy looking at you like, I got a nutcase right here. Yep, I got a nutcase right here. He say he loved the Lord, but he just let me come in and do what I want to do. See, the Bible says that Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you scared of the roar, if you scared of the roar and you just let his roar call you to turn, tuck tail and run, what you going to do if he really come up to you with some teeth showing like he going to bite you and eat you up? If there's no substance, how you going to resist the devil? If you don't know the voice of God, how you going to listen to God? If you don't know what God's words say, how do you know what authority, what power, how do you know what you have against the enemy? If you don't know, the word of God says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But if we keep trying to fight the devil in the natural, that's a battle you'll never win. Because he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Not mighty through you, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold right now that got you that you can't be transformed by the renewing of your mind with the word of God? What is the stronghold that got you keep conforming to this world? What is the stronghold that got you keep bowing down to the devil instead of lifting up God Almighty? What is the stronghold that got you bound? And don't sit there and say, duh, I don't know, because duh, yes you do. What is that thing that keeps you bound? What is it? And if you know what it is, which I'm pretty sure we know what they are, then we need to confess that thing before God and say, God, guess what? Not that you don't already know, but God, I've been delinquent. God, I have not been diligent. God, I have just went on by the wayside. God, I have not loved you enough to really study your word. God, I have not loved you enough to really obey you. God, I have not really loved you enough to be transformed by the renewing of my mind with the word of God. God, I'd rather be conformed to this world because I like the ways of the world. God, here I am. Now I need you to help me. And he will help you. But don't think that when you say that, it's going to be peaches and creams after that. Because as soon as you say it, the enemy going to come and he going to try you on what you just said. Oh, yeah, they really want to give their life to Christ. I'm going to see. Let me just make their children act this way. Let me just make their spouse act this way. Let me just do this to their finances. Let me just say this about them. Let me just, come on, y'all, act like you know what I'm talking about, because you know you done already been there. Galatians, where is that scripture? It says, oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Who have bewitched you that you don't obey the truth anymore? Who have changed your mind? Who have got you? Who have tricked you? You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And one translation says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on a cross. Who have bewitched you? Who has told you to believe another gospel? If somebody comes to you teaching another gospel, run. The gospel of Jesus Christ is never going to tell you to do wrong. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Why is the word of God not right anymore? Bible Truth by Benny said, who has hoodwinked you? Who done hoodwinked you? Who done pulled the wool over your eyes? Now you calling right, wrong, and wrong, right. Now you falling in with the crowd. Now the crowd saying it don't take all that, so now you saying it don't take all that. It does take all that. If it took the very Son of God to come down here and die on that cross to give his life as a ransom for many, then it takes all that. Yep, it takes all that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world. Turn to that, y'all. Y'all got your Bibles. If you don't got a Bible, you got a smartphone. So turn to it on your smartphone. Oh, I don't have my Bible. You got a smartphone. You might even have a dumb phone. But guess what? You got it somewhere. And if you don't, I'm going to read it to you. Everybody that knows me, know this is one of my most favorite scriptures. Romans, the book of Romans, anyway, is the book that's just going to jack you up. It's going to get you straight. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That was Romans 12, 1 and 2. Verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. If you love God, stop letting your love be stop letting your love be hypocritical love. And not just with God, but with your neighbors and your brethren. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually, steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. What? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay not evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, he will put a fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, this is the word of God. I didn't write it. I didn't write it. My cat is in there saying amen. I don't know. The cat's saying amen.
enriching words of life. The cat saying amen. Actually, she's saying meow because she want to get out the room. Anyway, Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh, listen to this, for those that are in the flesh cannot please God. For though then they are in the flesh, cannot please God. And we keep giving in to what our flesh wants to do. He said, meow and amen. I'm going to get him when I get him. When we give into the desires of our sinfulness, when we give into the desire of what our flesh wants to do, we're not pleasing God. And maybe it don't mean nothing to you that you don't please God. It means something to me when I don't please God. I feel like putting myself in a corner somewhere when I don't please God. I feel like putting myself on timeout when I don't please God. When I know for sure that I didn't please God, I feel like putting myself in timeout. I feel like taking the belt and spanking myself. The Bible says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It would do you a world of good, as it does me a world of good, to read Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 6. Read those scriptures until they get into your sanctified soul. Read them scriptures when you don't want to read them. Read those scriptures when you do want to read them. Read those scriptures. Get your Bible. Get in a bathroom. Read it. I don't have a Bible that I understand. You got a smartphone. Don't try to act like your phone is smarter than you. Now you want to be dumb because you got a smartphone. Get your smartphone. Get a Bible translation on there that you can understand and read the Bible. If you say you can't read, get somebody to download one of those audio Bibles for you and let the audio Bible read to you. There is no excuse for us not being able to get the word of God in us today. I rebuke the lie of the devil in the name of Jesus. It's just laziness. It's just not wanting to do what God wants us to do. I do want to do what God wants me to do. Well, then do it. Nike said, just do it. And off of that, some people that made that little stupid insignia has got millions and millions of dollars off of that. Just do it. When God been telling us that all along, just do it. And we won't even do it. And that'll give us eternal life. Might not give us millions of dollars, but it'll give us millions and millions of years, unending years in eternity with him. And we won't just do it. But we'll just turn that TV on. We'll just play them games. We'll just find everything else in the world to do. Y'all know it's tight, but it's right. Because it's tight for me and it's coming out my mouth. I've been writing scriptures for 2 days and ain't wrote them yet. I'll write them tonight. I'm going to start writing them tonight. Yes, I am. Thank you, Jesus. As soon as I hang up. Now, I want to say this. I love every one of you that's on this line. I may not know you in person, but I love you because you're my spiritual brother and sister in Christ Jesus. I love my blood sister, Celestine Rideout. That is my baby. My baby sister, I love her. But I love all of you. I thank God for everybody tuning in. Bible Truth by Benny,
Celestine Rideout, Enriching Words of Life. Shay was there. My husband's been on the air. He's cooking right now. 2-5-9 was here for a while. He checked out. I just thank everybody for tuning in. If you're in the Philadelphia area on June 6th and June 7th, we will be having a women's conference, Women Broken, Women Whole. It is a two-day conference. We'll be featuring evangelist Pamela Ransom from Las Vegas, as well as former R&B singer, what's her name? Stacey Ladisaw. Okay? She used to sing, "Let Me Be Your Angel," and I found love on a two-way street. If you're in the Philadelphia area, we invite you to join us for that women's conference. Amen. Yum, what's for dinner? I don't know. But again, thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We love you. We love God. And let's just determine in our minds that we're going to read the Word of God, no matter who likes it or who doesn't. We need to read the Word of God. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to do that. God gave us his word. Let's read his word. Let's be transformed by the renewing of our minds with the word of God. Amen. Amen. God bless you, one and all. I believe we have about 2 minutes left, so I don't have time. Oh, we have 4 minutes, according to the Blog Talk Radio clock. If anybody wants to call in right quick, 323-693-3054, and give a comment, you can do so. We'll get you on air. Just press the number 1. If not, we thank God for everybody who tuned in. We had a prayer in the beginning of the broadcast. You might want to listen to this in the archive. Go back and listen to that prayer, because it's a prayer for salvation for our families. Please go back and listen to that prayer and agree with me as touching that thing in the name of Jesus. I've prayed for our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors, our sisters, you know, our siblings, just people in general, that they will hear the word and get born again, that God will... if they hear the word of God, the word of God, the seed will be planted, somebody else will water, and God will give the increase. I just want that to happen. I want us to live right before God, and I want us to be born again. Amen. God bless you. Have a great night, everyone. And if the Lord says the same, we'll be back on Monday. God bless you. Have a blessed, blessed night. Amen.